Announce the chapter that we read together in the Gospel according to John, chapter 17. And the short words you will find in verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not.
Concerning sin. If a man never lives we were enemies. He reconciled to God by the death of his son. Not when you idolaters were enemies, but when we were enemies. And he classified himself with all his self-righteousness with the idolaters. We are Christ. not of the world, that's our nature.
But how we were born again
is an entirely different question. That doesn't matter as long as we've been born again.
What those experiences are, we vary,
but that doesn't matter as long as we are not of the world,
as long as we have a new nature.
Well then, I think that that is the first thing that Christ gave. The second thing he says, that might be said, is that there is a difference in character. The character of Christ was quite different from the character of the world. The character of Christ was godly, spiritual, and pure. It was clean. If he was separated from the world, in that respect of character. Now, the character of many people is carnal and materialistic and impure and clean. And we see the character of many who call themselves Christians is a worldly character. I'm not referring to any of the outward issues now. I'm referring mainly to the inward aspect of things. And that is all, my friends. That is what matters most of all. It is not the outward. See, there is one sense in which there isn't a practical argument between any one of us here today, between any two of us. That is in the sense that we are all trying to church. And you are all sitting in your pews. And in that sense, there is not a particular difference between one person and another. But there is a difference, in character, referring to the inward. That is that some of you are listening and some of you are not. Some of you are interested in what I am saying, and some of you are not. Some of you retain the truths that you hear, some of you don't. Some of you think differently. There are things in life which are more important to be talked about than they are, than these truths which we preach from the pulpit. They have a greater place in your thought life. Now this is what God sees, and this is what I mean by character, not one's demeanor or the impression that one gives themselves to those outside. We talk of character in that sense, but I'm referring to it purely in the inward sense just now. Now, in his thought life, Christ was quite different from the world. And in that thought life, the leader is not different from the world. Their meditation is not the same as the meditation of the world. They don't put the world first. They don't put their gain or their fame or even their reputation first. They will create it and say, they will stimulate the graves of weeks that fall into the ground and die, in order that they might live for food. Christ is first and foremost to them. It's to do His will and live, as Jesus is, to do the will of the Father. Now, in that sense, they are not of the world, even as He was not of the world. Now, there's another thing about the character of Christ that you notice, and this comes into the outward aspect of him. Christ never mixed with the world because of His holiness. Only went in and out, and as we heard here on the Saturday of the course of the communion, He went in to be a guest with one who was a sinner. He was a friend of publicans and sinners. He went into a Pharisee's house, and he wasn't, that Pharisee wasn't a good man, as far as we can be held. In that sense, he did mix with the world. But when he did mix with the world, he never became worldly. Now those are things which become mixed with the world, without being of the world. And in that sense, every believer is not of the world. For example, it would be impertinent and ridiculous, really, if one were to advocate that Christian people should not have worldly people as their friends. That is to say, that they should never go in to see anybody who wasn't a Christian. That they should not minister to them. It would be nonsensical and ridiculous to suggest such a thing. You may have a best friend among people who are not Christians. But the point is, that's all right as long as you don't become like themselves. In that friendship, Christ never became like the Pharisees, nor like the publican, nor like the sinner, when he was a friend. And in that sense, he was not the Lord. And in that sense, we are not the Lord. All my friends, we can go and see our friends of the world. But if we think with them for an evening and gossip about things and talk of worldly things to the exclusion of everything spiritual, then we are of the world, as they are. They have to play at their own disposal. They dictate the truth. They produce the deeds. And we follow on. And we go away. And we never open our mouths about God our Father or Jesus our Savior. Well, then we are of the world in our friendship with these people. If that's the case. That was not the case with the Lord. When he went with these people, he always he always taught truth. He always revealed the Father to them. And that is why he went. So, if we are to be not of the world, then we must carry our God, our religion in us, into the world. What would you say? And it's of course said quite often. It is said very often, we must be born. And cram religion down people's throats. And that is very often said by way of excuse. That is said by people who want to excuse themselves for their idle conversation. For all we know, the very people, the worldly people that you with, are waiting all the time for you to say something to them about the Savior. For all we know. And perhaps the disappointment knows no bounds when you go out. When you go out, they say, well, these are the best Christian people, and they spent the whole night with me. And I've seen the ways of God, and they never opened their mouths to me about God. Well, you know how devastating that can be. It was this kind of mixture when the sons of God, when the children of God, fell in love with the daughters of men and married them, that brought devastation to the old world. That's how it began. It began with this mixture of the church with the world. Our church becoming like the world. Until at last, all differences were extinguished. And the end of it all was that the world itself was extinguished because of this mixture of the church with the world. Well now, there is no positive sense among Christians, as long as they are here. But there is a positive difference between them and the world. Remember that there is a big difference between the two things. I am not saying that Christians are positively sinless. They are not sinless. There's a lot of the world in the heart of the world, far too much. But that's an entirely different question. The question is that in nature and in character, with which I'm dealing with now, we are not of the world. Even as occasion. On our occasion in England, when people were very cool, and the ministers travelled quite nutty, people didn't charge them with the coaches because they knew they were going to preach the gospel. And they thought hospitality was nutty. People didn't charge them because they knew they were preaching the gospel and they knew they were nutty. But the story is told of this man, and after he went to his bed from his host, evidently went to eavesdrop at the door, and he noticed that this man didn't pray before he went to bed. So in the morning he charged him. Well, he said, "You can't charge me that I'm a preacher." No, he said, "You may be a preacher, but you need like the word pray." And so we pray like the word. And my friend, if we are not like Christ, then we shall be condemned to the world. If we are of the world, then we shall be condemned to the world. The reward of the world will be our reward. And I will tell you, cut mostly to the inward. Now, if I have time, I shall come to the outward also, but I will tell you to the inward. If our hearts go after the world, if our hearts are worldly, if our hearts are on our business, more than on God, if our affections are not given to Christ, then we are of the world. What can we expect but to get the world's reward and to be dealt with like the world? And then, of course, we would say the same with regard to the concept of the world. I won't say very much about that. The world has its own concept, and Christians have their own concept. I was talking not very long ago to a very prominent business person in this town. And we happened to have a little bit of intimate conversation. I know the difference quite well. And he said something to me about the dishonesty, the untruthfulness of some. And I said, "Surely," I said, "a person in a high position, surely his word should have the same value as his signature." And he said, "If you were in my position, you would know that the language of religion and the language of business and commerce are entirely different." But he ought to know. And you would know that he ought to know that. Customs of the world. They are not of the world with regard to the customs of the world. See, Jesus moves through the world, but he did not adopt the customs of the world. He did not put on a phylactery. He did not make long prayers to be seen of men. He did not adopt these customs. He did nothing to be seen of men and to get the praises of men. And yet, at the same time, we may see, and some people may see, that the right thing is to be of the world as regards custom, as regards mode of dressing. You know, there are people coming to the church nowadays that they will go to bring the world to Christ. You must dress like the world and eat with the world. Speak like the word and be like the word itself. And this is the day, this is the way to win the world to Christ. Show them that you're not divine at all. Show them that you're deserving yourself. When, friends, my day with you is coming near its end, but I'm very glad to say that so far I'm near it. Not much of this has come to our part, but it is another part. We have not very much of maxis and ninnies appearing in church. We have that very much of the happiness coming to the church. I have plenty from people from all over the world who came here in the summertime, just as they are accustomed to go to their own churches, and they saw old ladies with hats on, and they would write me a letter of apology, hoping that they didn't offend either my congregation or myself, but that they did in ignorance, that they didn't know that this was our custom. It was very kind. Well, now, these are the customs of the world. See, these are the patterns of the world, and the strange thing is, friends, the strange thing is that these things often come in from the church. This is what I can't get over. That these things come in from those who profess religion. It is not young girls who go to dances and people like that. It is not they who come with the customs of the world. It is not young men who couldn't care less for Christianity. No, it comes in from the other side. This is the strange thing. They introduce the world's customs, who should be not of the world. Christ never did so. And then those who condemn this are looked upon as old fashioned and ignorant. I don't think we should be. I don't think so, then. I don't think we should be. A lady was telling me some time ago it is not their manner to be a liar or to exaggerate. She was expecting a preacher for the weekend. And he was to come on Saturday sometime. So somebody came to the door on Saturday, and she went out from the door and went right. And she told the man at the door, and thinking that he was a wandering hippie, she said to him, "What do you want?" Oh, he said, "I am supposed to be preaching here tomorrow." So stunned as she was, she took him in. "This is what you have." Oh, then last week somebody was telling me that one of our own students was going to preach from her, and he called up his certain house. And the person at the house he called was with a pair of dungarees or something like dungarees on, and a wind sheet and a polar jumper, and that the lady was going to preach on the following day, and his hair hanging down to his shoulder, and that's in the free church to which he went back to know. And my friend, you looked upon as an old pope, you looked upon as being an ignorant. If you frown upon this thing, if you're not with it, then you look upon as somebody who needs to be enlightened. Well, if I had a case in court, I don't think I would see my solicitor coming in with a pair of dungarees and a puma jersey. Or would he or visitor pleading a case that dressed according to the situation in which they are? If you're going out to a meeting, you dress according to the environment and to the situation. You don't just go any way you like. When there are 6,000 people invited to the reception of the Queen down at Buckingham Palace or at Holyrood Palace, they're told what to wear, they're told that they must be in formal dress, or they're told that they need not be in formal dress. It would be an insult to the Queen to go in a different way than what she ordered. So, my friends, if this comes in, are we going to say that these people are not of the world? Well, I hope God will save us from the like of this. In our congregation, I hope God will deliver us from it. And the thing is this, my friends, we talk about incense coming in. I was talking to somebody from Lewis some 20 years ago, when the Beihais were making their presence known and felt, and going into the schools and See, my friends, if we haven't got as much of the love of God and that is great in our hearts, that we keep these things out. Not anything that I would say, although I would say these things forever, we keep them out. No, nothing I say, nothing anybody say will keep them out. The only thing that is going to keep them out is the love of God, is real religion burning in your heart. And then when you have that, you don't want to follow the substance of the word. You want not to be in the word, even as you teach it. You substitute for not in the word. Who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow the hippies? Are you going to follow Jesus, whom you say died for you on the tree? Who are we going to follow? Who are we going to delight? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Well, you have the same thing in doctrine. But I have just, we haven't got time to examine it all. But you have the same thing too of doctrine. Now, in doctrine, the same thing holds true. I don't need to tell you, friends, I don't need to tell you that the church is in a complete mess. The church is in shambles. I don't mean the free church, I mean the church as a whole. It's in shambles. We're consulting with all sorts of people. We don't hold any distinctive position in the world today. We're frowned upon, we're laughed at, we're made objects of ridicule, and no wonder. The church says today, the church says that it's quite all right. It believes in people being all sorts of evil men, homosexuals and prostitutes and all that sort of thing. The church defends this attitude. Now, all this came in by doubting the word of God, its inspiration, the value of its truth. And where did that come from? Was it from the man in the pew? Did anybody ever get up and say to the preacher when he was preaching the gospel, I don't believe it. I don't believe the word, the Bible is the word of God. No, my friend, it did not come in as that. He was a man by the name of Robertson Smith, a professor in the free church, down in the 1880s, who has begun to say that the Bible was not the true word of God. It was from the church, from inside the church it came. It was going on before then. The fire was burning low, but it came to the surface then. People began to see it burning then. And so it has been going on and on and on. And what do you expect, friends? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. What did Jesus preach? He taught the truth of God. He referred people to the Old Testament. He said, it is written, it is written. It is written in your words, which are the scriptures. He calls them the scriptures. And yet people come up today and say, this is not the scriptures, this is not the word of God. But who says that? It's not you who says it. No, it's the minister of the Lord who says it. So, my friends, we can't say of the church, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. It is the church that is of the world, it is the church that's putting the world astray. Both in doctrine and in custom. It is indeed the church that is doing it. And I sometimes wonder what's going to happen to those sinners. When I think of these churches in which great men have preached the gospel, great churches that come up to mind the day when J.C. arrived at Liverpool was preaching, eminent men were preaching, and yet all these things have come in and I have been talking about false doctrine, dressing like the world, living like the world, entertainment in the churches, dances in the halls, all this sort of thing, all in the name of religion, all in the church, places in which the word of God sounded forth in own certain way only 100 years ago. I look at my vision in the night. Oh, may God deliver you. May God help you, friends, when you have to make the choice of a shepherd, of somebody who is going to preach to you and to lead you. May God help you to choose somebody who will not be of the world, even as Christ was not of the world. And then again, if one word more, and with that I will end. I am really quite a knockout. I was talking to a companion. a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to intents of sin. I would rather have one day in the house of the Lord than to dwell in tents of wickedness. I would rather have that. And my friends, I cannot see. May God forgive me if I am wrong, but I cannot see how any man can be happy, any professing Christian can be happy, because there's a function belonging to his work and he's there in the life of the great people. How is it? Nothing comes into his mind to say, this is not what you want to be. What you will sow here, Elijah, that's not what it will be. That's not what Jesus would be. No offense. They are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. Nor is that attitude to their God. Oh, think of the attitude of Jesus to God. What did he say? Here you have it. These words made Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, my friend, have you got a father? Have you got a father who is in heaven? In the troubles, have you a father to go to? Or are you just an orphan, going through the world as an orphan? And you're going to die an orphan? And you're going to die alone? And there will be nobody with you? Remember, you will die by yourself. Well then, have you got a father in heaven? Jesus said, Father, I can't be. And they are not of the world, because the word of God is in their heart. Insisted in his promises, precepts, everything is in their heart. You see, if you were of the world, then if you were of the world, you would have known me. If you were of the world, you wouldn't have chastisement. Jesus bore many sufferings. I want to tell you, those of you who are going through grief and sorrow, my friend, if you were of the world, God wouldn't deal with you like that. And if you were of the world, chastisement would never be blessed to you. Your sorrows are blessed to you. Your fires are blessed to you. Why? Because you are not of the world. Even if Jesus was not. And the other thing I'm going to tell you, and it is this, that if you act like the world, you've no right to act like the world if you say you are not of the world. If you say you are a Christian, that body you have, these legs you have, they're not your legs, they're not your feet, these eyes you have, they're not your eyes. They're not there to look at the dirt on TV or wherever it may be. These ears are not there to listen to the obscene. They're not your eyes. They're not your ears. Jesus died and shed his blood on the cross to redeem you all, soul and body, from the power of sin. Not to deliver you from hell, but to deliver you from the power and from the life of sin. And my friend, you have no right to do with your eyes and your feet and your ears what you want to do. No right at all. And the pity is if you want to do anything with these things that God wouldn't have you do. That's the pity. If you want to do things, then you're of the world. You're not like us. You're not like Jesus. We're not of the world. We hope you got it, huh? Not of the world, but you've no right to your own body. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So you have no right to do with your body what you want to do with it. No offense. I pity the devil over a majestic Christ, who say, I have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior, who gets up in prayer and thanks God for having been purchased by the blood, and then whose body is given to the world, who's of the world. That can't be true. I see how grievous this is to the Holy Spirit and how detrimental it is to the cause. Oh, I would like to say one word more to you, but I haven't really time. I would like to say to you, if you are of the world, not of the world, friends, if you want to be not of the world, do you want to be? Do you want to be like Jesus? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Do you want to be like that? natural It's easy enough to follow the customs of the world. It's easy enough to do with it. But if you want to be like Jesus, your life is not going to be easy. Remember that. You have to bear the ridicule, you have to bear the mockery, you have to be different to the world. And you find that easy? I didn't find it easy. And I forgot Christ when I was in my teens, and I've been fighting ever since, and I'm still fighting, and it's not easy. And my friends, I never expected fighting to be easy. It isn't easy to be not like the world in my attitude toward God. They are not like the world. Well, I hope these are things that would be useful to us after our communion season. Is it not what we said when we sat at the table? Did we not say to the whole world, look at me, I am not of the world, even as Jesus is blood and whose body and blood I am eating and drinking symbolically was not of the world. Look at me, like him, I am not of the world. That's what we said. What are we doing? Let us pray.
Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help us to ask the good fight of faith, to lay hold of eternal life, after which also we are called. We might be that there is awaiting us a crown of glory, which the world cannot take from us, that there is awaiting for us a spotless robe of holiness in the sight of God. Why should we wonder after those things during the short few minutes that we have in this world? Why should we cover the things of the world? When I have not seen and ear have not heard, and it has not been at the heart of man the things which thou hast made that for those who love thee. O Lord, we pray that we may be given the spirit of